Hi, this is Patrick Johnson. I am really looking forward to the show today, but first, a word from our attorneys.
The information provided in this program is believed to be factual and up to date, but we don't guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Discussions and answers do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice, but are limited to the dissemination of general information and may not be suitable for all members of the listening audience. Listening to this program should not be considered an engagement with SRS Capital Advisors, Inc. or Wealth Partner. Wealth Partner is a division of SRS Capital Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor whose principal office is located in Colorado. Patrick Johnson is an investment advisor representative of SRS Capital Advisors. Being a registered investment advisor or describing ourselves as being registered does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, where we believe financial wealth is one part of overall well-being. Wealth is a rainbow, and money is one of the colors. Now, here's your host, Patrick Johnson.
All right, well, welcome to another episode of Healthy, Wealthy, Wise. This is Patrick Johnson, and I'm excited today to be with you on this Saturday morning, and we're going to be talking about a topic that I think is fascinating, and we have an expert on the topic, and the topic is the Enneagram. And the Enneagram is really just a tool for a much bigger paradigm of self-awareness and wisdom. And as listeners know, our goal with this show is just to provide something of value in one or multiple dimensions of listeners' well-being for taking the time to be with us. And today, I guess the dimension would be in the wisdom dimension. Mm-hmm. And Amber Ayers is with us, and she is an Enneagram specialist, and I want you to get to know Amber just a little bit before we jump into the topic. So, Amber, tell us a little bit about your background, what brought you here, what piqued your interest in the Enneagram, what inspired you to go deeper with it, and then the rest of the show is going to be built around just what you think people would benefit from knowing about it and your work with it, maybe some fun stories, so that people, when they are reflecting back on the show, realize, oh, I learned some really neat stuff, and there's maybe something that I could benefit from by reaching out to Amber after the show's done. So tell us a little bit about how you got started with this and what brings you into this space.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, Patrick. Oh, it's really a pleasure. Appreciate it. Yeah. So my journey with the Enneagram began over a decade ago. I was in grad school and I was doing an internship as a chaplain in a hospital. And chaplaincy is hard and there's a lot of self-development and self-awareness that goes into, sitting at the bedside of people in health crisis. Mm. And so the Enneagram was one tool that my group and my supervisor engaged us with. And I learned a ton about myself. It was really hard to have to face a lot of things about myself as I was in the middle of this internship. But that was my first encounter with the Enneagram. So it was in a chaplaincy setting. And then I stepped into the coaching space and have really found of the many tools in my tool belt as a coach, I have found the Enneagram to be one of the most powerful and most potent in terms of the self-development that can emerge because of the self-awareness that comes from the Enneagram. So I've taken my own journey in understanding myself and seeing myself more clearly. I've brought it into my marriage, my family, and I love bringing the gift and the wisdom of the Enneagram into spaces where, you know, people are seeking transformation, they're seeking greater clarity, they're seeking relational wholeness. Mm. So that's one of the beautiful things about the Enneagram.
That's a powerful paradigm, relational wholeness. So thanks for a little bit of background. Mm-hmm. And so you've had this wonderful personal experience with it. You've seen that it's a very powerful and potent and effective tool in your tool belt. Mm-hmm. But let's qualify it. Let's define it. So what is the Enneagram and how does it generally work? So people have a point of reference.
Yeah. I know that the Enneagram has become wildly popular in a lot of social media spaces. There are umpteen books out there that you can now find about the Enneagram. And I like to define the Enneagram as much more than a personality profile, but indeed it is a framework to be learned. Mm. The Enneagram stretches back thousands of years. And it can be found in all of the major world religions. There are elements of the Enneagram that can be found in all of the major world religions. And so one of the beautiful things about the Enneagram is I think that it taps into our common denominator of simply being human. And it shows us, you know, 9 different ways of seeing the world, 9 different ways of engaging in the world.
And these are formal parts of the Enneagram, but yes. The 9.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right. So Enneagram, the kind of genesis of even the word Enneagram is in Greek. Ennea meaning 9, and then gram meaning like a line drawing or a figure.
Okay. All right.
And so, there are 9 points on the figure. And if you just picture a circle with the number 9 at the top and then 1 through 8 going around, and there are lines that connect the different types. But this symbol, you can, again, find it in a lot of different places, world religions. And these frameworks, these 9 different ways of viewing the world, explain a lot about our behavior, why we think the way that we think, why we do what we do. So I always want to make sure that we're explaining the Enneagram as the it's measuring something specific. So when you think of kind of other tools or other personality profiles, you may be familiar with Clifton Strengths, formerly known as StrengthsFinder, or Myers-Briggs, or the DISC profile. Mm-hmm. Okay, each of those profiles measures something specific, but the Enneagram measures motivation. So it helps to answer the question, why do I do what I do?
Okay.
The yardstick that we hold up to the Enneagram is motivation. The yardstick that we hold up to other personality profiles measure something different. And so I think we do a disservice to the Enneagram when we end up asking questions of it that it wasn't intended to answer.
Wow.
So I always want to return or kind of make sure that we clarify that the Enneagram is measuring motivation. And that's internal, right? We can't necessarily see that. Now, there are characteristics and behaviors that are common to certain types, but what we're really getting at when we're talking about the Enneagram and when we're talking about using it for self-development is we're returning to that question of motivation.
Motivation. So just to be crystal clear around that, it's what motivates us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a measuring stick for degree of general motivation. It's what... Mm-hmm. I don't know how to better say it. Motivates us.
Yes.
Is that fair?
Motivates us as an individual.
As an individual.
And so it's based off of self-observation and it's self-verifiable. The Enneagram has unfortunately been used in such a way where, you know, people type other people like, oh yeah, that's my mom. That's my neighbor. Mm. That's my best friend. You know, that's my boss. And that can actually be pretty damaging. And so I always, when I bring the Enneagram into the coaching space, I always want to encourage people like begin with self, begin with you.
Yeah.
And only you can observe yourself, look back through your own narrative and even kind of determine like, oh yeah, I do that because I am motivated in this way. Mm. To break it down even more, motivation is, in Enneagram terms, it's based off of a core fear and a core desire. And so in the Enneagram framework, all 9 types have a core fear and a core desire. And we basically spend our lives attempting to make sure that our core fear is not realized and attempting to make sure that our core desire is satisfied. And we can, again, look back on our own narrative and think about, you know, the people that we decided to date and the college maybe that we went to and, you know, the career path that we took. And we can even look back at the core fear and core desire and say, oh, I probably made that decision because my core fear was kind of being realized in that moment. So I ran far from it.
Yes.
Or my core desire was being threatened.
So to connect with what motivates you and maybe get awareness around that you've never had before, getting the type right,
yes,
is very important.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the process for that?
Yeah. There's a lot of different things you can do. Of course, if you Google Enneagram assessment or Enneagram test, you'll probably find, you know, something that you can pay for or for free. I really encourage people to do a little self-awareness exercise. And there's a few resources that I'm happy to send to include in the notes. But there's a a process of elimination. And basically, as you go through and you learn about the 9 different Enneagram types, you probably will come upon one where you will experience relief and embarrassment all at the same time. And the way to kind of better understand what the Enneagram illuminates as we come to understand motivation, what it's measuring, is there's kind of a light side and a shadow side, or your type at its best and your type at its worst. And sometimes when you are doing a process of elimination and trying to get type right, you will come across the shadow side or your type at its worst. And you probably will, that's where you will experience that, like, oh, it's so true. It's so true. I can't believe it's true, but it's true. And you probably have type right in that moment.
Okay.
I often encourage people, like, try on the shoes, walk around in them for a little while.
Meaning the type.
Yeah. Try on the type. Right. Ask people who you trust, who know you well, if they see this in you as well. And ultimately, like, once you get type right, you can begin your journey of self-development. I have a little story that I can share.
Yeah.
So back in that chaplaincy time where I first encountered the Enneagram, I went around the horn, meaning I looked at all 9 types, and it became pretty clear that I was settling around 7 or 8, Enneagram type 7 or Enneagram type 8. And I ended up trying on the shoes of Enneagram type 7, thinking like, oh, I kind of like this, you know, like I can see where this fits. And I tried them on, and I tried to fit into those shoes for
'cause you wanted it
like
to,
3 months.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
And the reality is I, at that moment, needed to kind of face the shadow side of my true Enneagram type 8. So I'm an 8 with a strong 7 wing, and the wings basically just mean that, you know, it kind of adds some nuance and gradation to your core type.
So you have a core type, but you can have influences of the numbers on either side of
exactly.
your core.
Okay. Yep. Yep. The wings are kind of the neighbors to your core type. So that, you know, that story just illustrates like I kind of had to come face to face with my shadow side.
Yeah.
And it took a few months. And the journey of getting type right is a journey that I never want to short circuit. It sometimes can take years. Sometimes it's in an instant and you just know it.
Okay.
And you maybe even feel it gutturally. Or you feel it in your heart,
yeah.
or you kind of instinctually feel it. But I really encourage people, as you are journeying to get type right, pay attention to where you feel that kind of embarrassment or that chagrin or that like, oh my gosh,
ooh.
It is true.
Aren't listeners excited to go there?
Yeah, yeah.
That's tough. That's deep plowing,
yep.
but it's important.
All right,
we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after the break with more from Amber.
Hi, this is Patrick Johnson, and I want to take 1 minute here at the break for a personal note and a request. I've been having a lot of fun creating the show for you each week, and it's a pleasure to interview interesting guests about important topics and provide content which I hope will enhance listeners' overall well-being. And as you might imagine, I'm very intentional about how I spend my life energy, and I spend a lot of time working on this show for you. And I'm also very intentional about how I spend my hard-earned money, and I pay a hearty sum for the airwaves each Saturday morning. This is both energy and time, which I have delighted in investing thus far. But here's the thing, we're around 20 shows in right now, and I have no sense for the show's audience. It is apparently impossible to accurately track listeners. So I simply don't know whether this is a good use of my energy or finances. And as a committed steward of both, this bothers me. So the Healthy Wealthy Wise show is one of many activities Wealth Partner promotes in an effort to help make the world a better place. And I just need to determine if this effort should be prioritized over the others. So if you're willing, I'm simply asking that you help me gain a bit of clarity around all of this. Please visit the Wealth Partner website and just say hi. Let me know if you're enjoying the show and perhaps even submit any topics you'd like to hear conversation about. Our website is wealthpartner.com. That's W-E-L-L-T-H partner.com. So that's it. Thank you for listening. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Healthy Wealthy Wise on KRDO News Radio. Here's your host, Patrick Johnson.
All right, well, welcome back. We are visiting with Amber and talking about the Enneagram. And so before the break, she was emphasizing the primary reason for the Enneagram exercise is to experience and come into contact with what motivates you.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are different types and personality types. Is that a fair statement? It's an Enneagram type. Is that
Yeah.
In line generally with personality
type? I always want to say it is not just a personality profile, but it's a framework to be learned.
A framework for understanding motivation based on just kind of how you're wired and how you show up in the world. Okay. And so getting type right was the emphasis as we were heading into the break.
Yep.
And we wrapped up the break saying that people might get in touch with their shadow selves. And that can be a little bit intimidating. So I think it would be interesting to pick it up after the break and talk about what would inspire one to lean into this process?
Yeah. I think the Enneagram comes into your life at the right moment. And if it's not the right moment, you likely will not be able to respond to the Enneagram and even kind of do that soul work that you might need to do. The invitation of the Enneagram is to really outgrow some of the patterns that we get stuck in, to unlearn some bad habits, and to kind of bring our best self into our community, into our families, into our workspace. And oftentimes I find that, yeah, where there is that sense of discomfort, that is the gold of the Enneagram. If you can begin there, and if you can even allow that discomfort to teach you something, right? That's where you begin to kind of harness the power of the Enneagram, the wisdom of the Enneagram, and apply it for that self-development. So it begins with self-discovery. It begins with asking questions like, why did I make that decision? Or why did I react in that way when, you know, my kid, you know, just erupted in that moment? I have two young kids. And so I am constantly thinking about myself as a parent and how I respond to their little lives and their big emotions. And here we are, you know, on the journey of raising a few kids. And the Enneagram has been incredibly powerful for my husband and I as we are wanting to raise them well, right? And learning more about ourselves in that. So I think that because the Enneagram has been brought into kind of this pop culture space, it's unfortunate that there has been a lot of navel gazing that has come from just like putting the Enneagram out there in very stereotypical forms. There's memes, there's short clips, there's, you know, like, oh, this is all sevens or this is all threes and how they show up in the world. And I really like to kind of blow that up in a way of saying like the Enneagram is so much more than the box that people often place on other people. And so it becomes navel gazing if we simply stop at the thought, oh, isn't that interesting? Like that's fascinating about me and my Enneagram type. I think the power of the Enneagram really comes when we choose to take those insights and then make a different decision, like choose a different path. So that, again, we can bring our best selves into the world. Ultimately, the Enneagram, you know, gives us an objective perspective of how other people perceive us and how other people experience us. So it allows us to step outside of our world and see ourselves objectively.
So you understand your motivation and how you're perceived in the world.
Exactly.
Those are two powerful deliverables.
Yeah. So it begins with that self-awareness, but then we get to step outside of ourselves and kind of say like, oh, I wonder what it's like to have me as a boss. I have a friend who, you know, had been married like 20, 25 years, and he woke up one day and he just thought, I wonder what it's like for my wife to be married to me, to wake up to, you know, this kind of attitude or this kind of approach to the world. For the first time in his marriage, he asked the question, an objective perspective, what's it like to have me as a spouse? And I think that's a worthwhile question in lots of spheres of life. What's it like to have me as a boss? Yeah. I constantly ask myself the question, what's it like to have me as a mom, right? Like, what are my kids experiencing as I am responding to them in these ways?
So you can do this at any age? Are your children aware of their types?
No.
What motivates them?
No, okay. I have a almost 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. So we are working with wet cement right now. And here's one thing that I always like to say. Most Enneagram masters agree that personality is set by age 6 and it doesn't change. The way that we show up sometimes changes based off of our level of awareness, our, you know, the emphasis of our wings, kind of showing some more nuance with our core type. But I typically don't kind of offer the Enneagram as a tool for people people under the age of 20. And here's why.
Okay.
Sociologists and psychologists are agreeing that the front of our brain, like the frontal lobe of our brain, literally is not formed until age 25 or 26.
Right.
So because the Enneagram requires this ability to self-reflect, like literally we kind of need that fully formed brain in order to actually self-reflect. Now, we've all met the very self-aware 16-year-old, but I think it's helpful to bring this into play in young adulthood. And we've also met the 70-year-old who is wildly unaware of themselves, right? And we see kind of the effect of an unaware person who has just spent their lives not even paying attention to what's going on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think the Enneagram provides this powerful framework to finally see yourself as others see you and experience you. And it provides a vocabulary for understanding these dynamics at play. I bring the Enneagram into, the corporate setting, organizations, companies, teams. And I often say, you now will, at the end of this session or at the end of our series together, you will be equipped with what we call Ennea Speak. And it's a way of accelerating conversation. It's a way of cutting through conflict. It's a way of even kind of saying like, okay, in a humble, even empathetic way, how can you say, how is my Enneagram type getting stuck right now? Like, I wonder if my oneness is getting tripped up. Or I wonder if my fourness has anything to contribute in this situation. Mm-hmm. So there's a way to kind of shorthand, even bring the Enneagram into the team setting that really accelerates solving problems, getting projects done, working through those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. So the motivation, we're motivated toward something, right? So what motivates us, the motivation is toward a sense of wholeness, within ourselves, but then also within community. Is that a fair statement about the Enneagram?
Yeah. I would say to nuance it a little bit more, we're motivated towards something and away from something. And that goes back to the core fear and core desire. Mm-hmm, so all nine of the Enneagram types are motivated in an attempt to make sure that their core fear is not realized and in an attempt to make sure that their core desire is satisfied.
Interesting.
And that's different for all nine of the Enneagram types.
Right. So listeners are probably getting a sense for this exercise. What's the general rule of thumb, if there is one, for how long this process takes for a generally self-aware person?
I think it can take a moment.
Yeah.
I think it can literally take a second.
Yeah.
And again, you go back and you kind of look at the shadow side or the unhealthy characteristics of your type, and you may realize it in a moment.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but the moment, the awareness can happen about your type, but then how you
apply
that, work it through. You can find all kinds of resources in books and online, but then you can also have a coach that's a specialist in work. So this is a tool in your coaching toolbox to figure out what motivates people towards something and away from things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the conversation about life within the context of that rubric.
Yep. Okay. Exactly. And I would say most Enneagram masters who have been working with it for decades would still say that they are learning and they're peeling back layers of learning about who they are and why they do what they do and seeing it show up in real time in the relationships of life.
Yeah, it's life's dynamic, right?
Yep.
It's going to shift and evolve. So is your core type set though?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, whenever I do workshops or coaching sessions, sometimes people will say, well, I think when I was younger, I was this type, but now I'm this type. And I often try to just gently correct that because most Enneagram experts believe, again, that personality is set by age 6.
Mm-hmm.
The way it plays out is different, and the way that our awareness grows of our type is different. But it's not that we shift core types. Okay. I think that as we grow and mature and are willing to pay attention to that shadow side, again, that's the gold. Those are the gold nuggets of, oh, I'm going to take this knowledge and now I'm going to apply it in such a way that like, I'm just going to have more compassion and empathy for my spouse because I understand why they do what they do. I'm going to have more compassion and empathy for myself because I understand why I do what I do. It can be transformative.
So it's an incredibly powerful tool, and I'm acting as if I don't have much experience with it. My mother's a psychologist, and I went through all the Myers-Briggs and the DISC profiles back in the day.
Yep.
And the Enneagram's been, I mean, you and I have done some work together, and it's a very powerful tool for self-exploration, self-understanding, but then as just in our social spheres.
Yeah.
And whoever, if we can learn how to have Ennea speak or some
language, vocabulary
for understanding how we're relating to the world and each other, it's just going to bring more peace and harmony
and wholeness.
And wholeness into one's life experience.
Yeah.
So today, it was, boy, that went by fast, like all these shows tend to do. We have about a minute. Is there anything that you want to add by way of just a final point or how people can reach out to you or a little bit of both? Why don't you take us into the ending here in the minute that we have left?
Okay. I always want to encourage people when you first engage the Enneagram, think of it as a tool in your tool belt. Now, you can picture a hammer, right? I could break a window with a hammer, and I could also hang a picture on a wall with a hammer. And so the Enneagram is a hammer, and I encourage people to use it as a tool and not a weapon. Let's not weaponize, you know, let's not start pegging people or boxing them in or kind of wielding it in such a way that can be wounding or hurtful towards people.
Yes.
Begin with self. And then, I love bringing the Enneagram into team settings and individual settings, couples coaching. So I have an organization called Niche Coaching and Consulting.
Great.
Feel free to reach out to me there at nichecoachconsult.com. And I have done a number of workshops here locally in Colorado Springs and love bringing it again into the corporate setting. And so if you or your team have a professional development day, a team building day, I would love to bring the Enneagram into that space and see what kind of transformation it might bring to you and your teammates.
Well, we appreciate you enlightening us this morning, and I hope listeners have benefited from that. It was a delightful visit. Yeah, and so thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next show. Thanks for being with us, Amber.
Thanks so much.
Listeners are encouraged to consult a professional advisor before implementing any of the strategies presented. The material in this program is for education purposes and is not intended to provide investment, tax, legal, health, or medical advice. Past performance does not guarantee future success. Information in this program is not an offer to buy or sell or a solicitation of any offer to buy or sell the investments, investment strategies, securities, or well-being services mentioned herein. All expressions of opinion reflect the judgment of the speakers as of the date of the radio show and are subject to change and are not statements of material fact. Opinions are based on knowledge and experience, but may not include all of the supporting facts to verify these opinions. The advisor may not transact business in states where it is not appropriately registered, excluded, or exempted from registration. Individualized responses to persons that involve either the effecting of transaction in securities or the rendering of personalized investment advice for compensation will not be made without registration or exemption.